Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
Well, Doug and Linda Smith are here today. Have you noticed? Yes, there they are. Doug and Linda served as our lead pastors since 2006 to 2017. And what a large-hearted couple who loves and cares for people. Just absolutely beautifully. And around our home, the saying is, well, there's no one nicer than Doug and Linda. And I just think that's still true. That's just so still true. But certainly no stranger. If you're newer, these are wonderful people who have led this congregation so well over the years. And God bless you as you come.
Thanks, Dave. Thanks, man. You're not as good looking as the old guy. I'm just saying. But just wanted to put that out there, because this morning's all about truth. Morning, everybody. Wow, this is so good to see you. So good to see you. This is such a joy and an honor for Linda and I to be here today. We've been looking forward to this for a long time. It's hard to believe that it's been like 15 months since we left this community to find our 925-square-foot condo in Burnaby, British Columbia, which is very small, but we're very happy with it. It's wonderful. And, you know, our primary motivation in moving to Burnaby was to get closer to our kids. We have four grown kids and a granddaughter. And so where we're placed is like 15 minutes away from them. So that picture, by the way, was taken on Father's Day. Linda was taking the picture, so unfortunately she's not in it. But that's those are our kids. And isn't that little Ava the cutest little thing you ever just see? So sweet. So we've been able to really do what we wanted to do, and that was to be close to our kids. And we're loving it. We trust that they're loving it too. You know, who knows? I think it goes without saying that we really miss this community. Man, we were here for 11 years, and this community is a gift from the Lord. And the relationships that we have made over the years, we treasure so, so much. And just even being here this morning, I know that there are many people that we've not met because you're new to this community. And so, hi, welcome home. I'm glad that you're here. And I don't know, it just reminds me of God's working in this community. He has a destiny for this community. He has a place for this community. And I'm excited for the days ahead at Living Waters. I really am. So thanks again for the opportunity to be here. I think it's really cool to be able to speak on Thanksgiving. I love Thanksgiving. I love everything about Thanksgiving. And it's really a cool time to come and speak. Now, in the spirit of authenticity, because that is one of our values here, I want to put down any elephants that may be roaming in the room today. And as most of you know, I think most of you know that over the summer time, I was diagnosed with stage 4 colorectal cancer. And we had some scans done, and they determined that that's what I had. And unfortunately, it had moved from the lower regions to the upper, into my liver. So at this stage, I've had three chemo treatments, which are just joyful. And And I'm scheduled for a liver resection on October the 25th. And so we just wanted to take a moment to say thank you for praying and standing with us. And it's been a challenging season, but we're very thankful for this community. Always, this is such a loving and caring community. So thank you. Thank you so much. In fact, you know, when you think about it, you might kind of ask, am I really the best one to choose for a Thanksgiving speaker when you consider everything? I mean, where in the world does thankfulness fit in the world of chemotherapy? Where does it fit when you're considering pending surgery, which is fairly significant? And where does thankfulness come when you look at the stats, which tell me that my lifespan is probably quite a bit shortened? Well, in many ways, I think and I hope that that is the point of the message this morning. In fact, the very point of the message this morning, that somehow, in the light of who God is and who we are, and despite our circumstances, both good and bad, whatever they might be, thankfulness finds its grounding beyond the natural And it is rooted in the supernatural. It's rooted in the supernatural, the highest of places. I actually, when I was asked to speak this morning, I was so privileged, and then I was so blown away that I was actually going to be kicking off a series, because usually, you know, the smart people do that. And so I'm really excited to be a part of that, kicking off this brand new series that we're going to be entering into. And it finds its roots in Colossians. And so if you have your Bible with you, you can turn to Colossians, because we'll be looking at that today. Over the next 4 weeks, this community is going to be journeying through Paul's letter to the Colossians. And I think it's going to bring this community to consider an overall theme, which is called grow. Isn't that a great theme? I love that. It's got some movement to it. Grow. And we're really going to study more deeply the implications of two of Living Water's seven core values. And if you know anything about me, I love our values. I really do. And so we're going to be looking through these weeks at worship, and we're going to be looking at spiritual formation as they relate to growth and the letter of Colossians. So anyway, that's something to look forward to as we move forward. I think that thankfulness is a great starting point for a series on Colossians, because again and again, that letter makes us focus on truth, and it answers the questions of purpose and questions of fulfillment. And throughout the series, we're going to see that Colossians, this lovely little letter, is as rich and as succinct and clear as it can be. And the Apostle Paul, he directs us not only to consider but embrace the central character of our faith, which is, of course, Jesus Christ. And the natural outcome we'll consider this morning is that we discover what it means to be a thankful people, to be a thankful people. So, Father, as we move into your word, we pray today that we would have your heart. We pray, Holy Spirit, that we would have your revelation, that we would have a deep understanding today. And we are today thankful to you. So this morning what I'm going to do is I'm going to provide kind of a brief survey of Colossians and of Paul's specifically pointing us to thankfulness as a natural or as a supernatural response to finding and holding our faith in Christ. So the apostle, it's interesting, he zeroes in on thankfulness right at the very beginning of his letter. So let's look at Colossians chapter 1. Beginning at verse 11. May you be filled with joy, he says, always thanking the Father. He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and has transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. May you always be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. This is a powerful little prayer right here. This is a powerful little prayer of blessing by Paul, and it reminds us what it is to be at the profound starting point of thankfulness, the profound starting point of thankfulness, and that is the recognition that we are in his family. We are in God's family as followers of Jesus. We no longer, come on, we no longer walk in the darkness, you and I, and that is so cool. So thankfulness can't help but kind of rise up in us because of this truth, because we have been rescued by Jesus, who came to this earth to take on the penalties for our messes and somehow made us righteous with God. Come on, there's good reason to be thankful right there, I can tell you that. Well, there are many things that you and I should be thankful for, and we are today, many things that we have that are around us and so on. Surely this right relationship that we have with Jesus, this inheritance that we have, must top the list of everything that we're thankful for. See, this is a personal transformation we're talking about that has taken us from being spiritually broken people to being spiritually healed, and it has brought us into this forever family. So the first point of thankfulness is this, and I'm going to be using a few P words this morning. Can't quite help myself. But as we consider that first point of thankfulness this morning, we consider placement. Placement at the table. We are at the table. You may be here today, and I know Joanne mentioned it earlier, and you may be on a search today looking for that ultimate truth, for that place where you spiritually belong. And I say to you, good for you. Good for you. You are in the right place. And I want to tell you that there is and there always has been room at this table for you. There's room at this table for you. Helping you to find a place at that table, that is so much of what this community is about. And that's why I say it is so good that you are here. It's incredibly important. And today you need to know, as you learn more and when you're ready, that the family of Christ welcomes you. Welcomes you into that forever family. Here's the thing. We have a reason to be thankful for our placement, where we've been placed at the table. Here's another perspective of thankfulness. A little later on in chapter 2, Paul teaches us that our thankfulness is not a static thing that just sort of sits there. You know, our thankfulness is so much more than just sort of a prayer by rote that we say at the table, thank you, Jesus, for this food, and so on. It's much more than just a quick utterance of, you know, thanks be to God when, you know, we just missed that car that almost hit us and all of that. Paul speaks of a thankfulness here that is like a state of being. A state of being, and it is dynamic, and it is a deepening part of us as we grow in our relationship with Jesus. So much so, this thankfulness rises up that it cannot be contained. That's how big it is. It happens when we move from finding our place to being planted, to being planted. Listen to this. Let your roots grow down into him. And let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth that you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. Absolutely. This is a clear picture here of cause and effect. Of cause and effect. Our thankfulness, you see, it will be limited in a superficial relationship with Jesus. It'll be limited in a superficial relationship with Jesus. The less deep that we go with him, the less we will live in thankfulness, you and I. Because our experience with him will be less. It just makes sense. It's going to lack depth and it will lack purpose. Of course, what we're talking about this morning is the reverse of that, because the reverse of that is true, and that is the place that Paul wants us to head, to go deep. He's saying, never mind just sort of dipping your toes in the place of your spirituality. He's saying, take the plunge. Go all the way in. Go deep. Go deep. Take the plunge in your faith. The fact of the matter is this, that we will grow stronger as we immerse ourselves in truth. And the result of that will be this natural overflow of thankfulness. A natural overflow of thankfulness, because the more we know Jesus, the more our worldview looks like his. And the more we see and discover his way for us, we have even deeper reasons to be thankful. It's just a journey of discovery, a journey of discovering thankfulness. This particular verse, verse 7, it brings us really to the essence of the core value that we hold here on spiritual formation. The heart of the value is about each of us growing in this community garden, and I love that term, and allowing our roots together to grow deeper into Jesus. And you know, the value of this, the value doesn't suppose that we're going to be growing at the same rate, that we're going to be cookie-cutter Christians, even that we're going to be growing at the same time. You see, we're different. We're all different. Some of us are newly planted, and some of us have been stuck in the ground for a while. But we're all different. But growth is a given. It's a given if we allow our spiritual roots to aim for the heart of Jesus. That's where we need to aim them. And that growth, then, is common to all of us. It's a reason to celebrate, no matter what our differences are. And oh my goodness, we have those. It is about moving forward together. And with that comes that overflowing sense of thankfulness to Jesus for who he is. And it comes this overwhelming thankfulness for each other. And I sense that in this room today. When we're planted and our roots go deep, thankfulness is the bloom. It really is. It's the bloom. In another verse in chapter 3 of Colossians, Paul introduces another facet of Christian life that results in thankfulness, and that is peace. Peace. It says this in chapter 3, verse 15. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let's be honest here, because, you know, this is about transparency. There's a lot of things in our world that seem bent on disrupting our peace. Isn't that the truth? And to be honest, when that peace is robbed from us, thankfulness is often the very first casualty. It's the very first thing to go out the door. And, you know, I think of, where's the Semiex? Over here. Oh, Martin, you're over there. Olivia's with the baby, right? Okay, you'll relate to this. I'm thinking, you know, peace. You guys, you're with baby at night, everything, she's going to sleep, everything is very cool. Finally, after so many nights of being awake, you have this opportunity to have peace because she's going to sleep. And you cuddle with your wife and everything's good. You're on the couch and all of a sudden you hear this. It's amazing how quickly peace just disappears. And thankfulness, as you say to Olivia, whose idea was this anyway? It can happen. Young parents understand that. I get it. Or we wait in the lineup at Starbucks contemplating a few minutes of peace with our pumpkin spice latte, the celebrated PSL, and a good book. And we sit down with it and we savor that first sip, and then we realize that it actually is not a pumpkin spice latte at all. It is some dribbly kind of vanilla latte. They've made a mistake. And our peace is suddenly dwindling away. And our thankfulness for this huge corporation is also dwindling away. The moment of peace is gone. Thankfulness is gone. The world is against us. Thanks for nothing. But surely, the peace and the thankfulness that Paul speaks of is not so elusive. It is not so fleeting. I think that Paul is driving at something much more sustainable than just a quiet break here or there. A quiet break somewhere in the midst of the madness. We all like that. But he's looking for something more here. This is a certain and available peace that comes from the stability of Christ's rule in our lives. And it results in an inner and ongoing thankfulness in light of the bigger things of life. See, some harder questions are answered, like, who is in charge here? What am I doing here? Where am I going? How will I know truth? What will happen when I die? See, Jesus brings a peace that transcends our day-to-day living. It is a peace that comes from seeing things as they truly are. As they truly are, and not seeing them from simply a limited moment-to-moment perspective, which is where we tend to live. A big picture view, if you will, that takes us from ground zero to 30,000 feet. That's really what it looks like. Let me just get a little personal about peace here. As I mentioned, this summer, Lynn and I had some pretty tough news. We were about to celebrate our 5th anniversary of being cancer clear. We were all set for that. And many of you will remember the diagnosis I shared with you 5 years before, diagnosed with rectal cancer. We shared all sorts of things that probably we shouldn't have, but it was interesting talking openly about that journey. And I still consider it to be a pain in the butt. So we shared that diagnosis openly with this community, and it was such a powerful experience. And so this summer, going in for routine scans and all of that stuff, we thought we were absolutely convinced they were going to come back cancer clear. And so much so, we were on our way to the island. We were going to have a great 10-day vacation with friends, and it was just as we're disembarking the ferry that we get a phone call from our doctor, and he said, we're going to need you to come back early from your holidays, and you're going to have an ultrasound, and you'll have to have a biopsy because we think that the cancer has actually moved to your liver. So that was not peaceful. That was a little hard. And as we spent some time on the island with good friends, which we believe was a gift from the Lord, and made our way back, we went through the process of the ultrasounds and the biopsy and all of that, only to have it concluded that I had stage 4 cancer on my liver. So it wasn't easy. It's not easy news. It's not what we planned for. We've kind of moved into a bit of a retirement, semi-retirement. We're open to whatever the Lord has for us. Want to be close to our kids and our granddaughter and whatever the Lord has next for us. But cancer? Again? Really? Do we have to go through this again? Always be thankful, says Paul. Well, where in the world do you find an overwhelming sense of thankfulness in the midst of cancer or chemotherapy or a liver resection? Where in the world do you find a place of thankfulness in the mess of divorce, of job loss, of issues within the family, the loss of a loved one? Where is that? Well, I think it begins with the peace that Paul is talking about here. I really do. It is a peace that moves us from ground zero to the 30,000-foot level. Because today's moment is best seen in light of tomorrow's eternity. Today's moment is best seen in light of tomorrow's eternity. In the midst of our battles, this is much more than a theological positioning here. This is a peace that comes from rootedness in the one who knows all of our todays and all of our tomorrows. The one whose plans supersede whatever a broken world can throw in my direction or your direction. Plans from God himself who said, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." Because I know Jesus, because I know of his love for me, I trust my future to him, all of it. And all of my hopes I trust to him, whether they find their place here on earth or on the new earth to come. I trust my Jesus. Ground zero to 30,000 feet. You know, when you're there, the higher you are, the viewer is sharper, it's clearer. And I'm thankful because it literally reminds me that God has this. He's got me and he's got you. We have good reason to be thankful today. So is this peace and thankfulness natural to us? No, not really. In those ground zero moments when your hair is beginning to fall out, when you're nauseous, when your plans seem to kind of get thwarted because of all of this, peace doesn't come so naturally. And thankfulness can be difficult to hold to. But this, what I'm talking about here, is an attainable peace that supersedes the natural. It supersedes the natural. It's a supernatural peace that comes from contemplating and seizing whenever and wherever we can Christ's stabilizing influence in our hearts. It's as we often say, so often we say it, it is a peace that passes understanding. It's in those ground zero moments that we press through, and as we sung earlier, we receive the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God that overtakes us rather than fear of the unknown. It's in that place of that reckless, all-consuming love that we find peace and a sure sense of thankfulness because of the goodness of our God. My cancer doesn't make him any less good. He is a good God. He's a good God. So our placement at his table, our being firmly planted in our relationship with Jesus, they bring peace that passes all understanding. And to our final point this morning of thanksgiving, and that is praise. It's praise. I want to talk about praise because when it comes down to it, I don't think a seriously contemplated thankfulness is meant really to be a quiet thing. I think we need to be a little boisterous about our praise. This is how Paul puts it in chapter 3, verse 16. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts, and whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. You know, if anybody on this planet, listen, if anybody on this planet should be thankful, it is you and I. Seriously. In the light of our brokenness and his healing, we need to offer thanks. In light of our hopelessness and his hope, we need, you and I, to offer thanks. In light of our messes and his cleansing power, we need to offer thanks. In light of our lack and his incredible provision, we need to offer thanks. In light of our loneliness and his friendship, we need to offer thanks. In light of our weakness and his strength, we need to offer thanks. In light of our loss and his restoration, we need to offer thanks. Whether we sing our thankfulness, whether we write it, whether we whisper it, whether we shout it out loud, the sincere expression of a thankful heart requires something that says, I acknowledge God for who he is, and I stand amazed, and I stand humbled, and I stand thankful for who God is. Paul knows it's good for us to give thanks, because it's this public articulation of our faith. In the company of others, it builds our own when we praise together. See, we stand in this cloud of witnesses, you and I, that together raises voices of singular praise all together into this mess of thanksgiving. Voices that in unison tell the combined stories of thankfulness that are represented in this room. Incredible stories. Thankfulness that overflows beyond our ground zero circumstances. Thankfulness, it is good for us to say it, to sing it, to express it out loud for all to see and hear. That is why we are called to worship, actually. That's why we're called to worship. In fact, one of our core values is all about that. It's about worship. We are a people naturally drawn to worship because of our relationship to Jesus. We are people who worship with our whole lives, not just moments here and there, but with our whole lives. Strong, free, and open expressions of our love for Jesus and thankfulness for his shepherding in our lives. I'm so glad we have this value that calls us to praise, reminds us of why we lift the name of Jesus. Praise is about thankfulness. It is about thankfulness. And let me just finish by saying this. Let's not miss the power of thankfulness here. Not only is its expression good for us, and it is good for others, both in the family of God and for those who are still searching. When we as representatives of Jesus express our thanks to God, others pay attention. Others will pay attention, particularly if it's unexpected and it comes out of, it's not the norm in culture. Like, why on earth would someone who is particularly successful, who seemingly has it all together, give all the thanks and the credit to God? Why would somebody do that? You have to think about that. Why would somebody moving through a tough challenge find it in him or herself to still express thankfulness to Jesus? See, there is something powerful when a Christian voice lifts thanks and worships over and above ground zero circumstances, whether they're good circumstances or difficult ones, because it is a reflection of our fervent belief in Jesus Christ and who he is in our lives. And that impacts the lives of those who are around us, particularly those who have not yet found Jesus. Our praise makes a difference to us and to those who are around us. It says, there is forever room for you in this wonderful world that God has given us. So let me just close with this summary. into the P words. The foundation of our thankfulness begins when we recognize that we have a place at God's table. There is placement. We've been invited. We have been accepted. And that has changed everything, not only for the better, but for the best. We're thankful because of our placement. And thankfulness doesn't end there. It's just the beginning. It's not the static expression. Rather, when we're planted in Christ and our roots go down deeper and deeper, our thankfulness, Paul says, it begins to overflow. When we move from the sidelines and we jump all the way in, our thankfulness is commensurate with our faith. Our peace that passes all understanding is what allows our thankfulness despite our conditions and despite our circumstances. Peace in Christ doesn't erase, but raises us above our day-to-day concerns. We move from ground zero to 30,000 feet, and we hold on to God's bigger and better picture for us. And finally, to praise. It is worship and the finest expression of our thankfulness. It strengthens us, and it strengthens those who are around us. And as we remember this, we're not in charge. And the one who is has this. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, Doug. Doug is a godly role model. He is. And thanks for serving your Lord so well. Well, happy Thanksgiving. I trust that the rest of your day would be just fantastic. And why don't we share some of that good, thankfulness as we take a few minutes to say hi to each other before you go from this place today. If we don't see you during this upcoming week, trust we'll see you next week as we continue our Grow series. So God bless you, and thank you, Jesus.